Let's get right into the Word of God. Glory to your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for these moments. Thank you, God, for these times. It's a good time to be alive. If you would, turn me to Proverbs 4 and 7. Tonight, I want to take a few moments and do some things that Apostle don't have time to do because his the calling is on his life now is to take us deep into the spirit realm and take us places we've never been before. So it's my job to help people who may not be able to go as deep, may not be understanding everything he's saying, to break down the simple terms so that when he comes, he can take us where we need to go and any of us won't be left behind. So in Proverbs, the fourth chapter, in the seventh verse, it says, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom." Here's the part that I want to focus on. "And with all thy getting, get understanding." Apostle been dealing with, "I am a spirit." Say it.
I am a spirit.
He's been dealing with, "I am a spirit," getting us to focus more on the supernatural than the natural. And if we don't understand how God created us, then we'll be trying to mechanically do something that we were designed to be. I'm gonna say that again. We have to understand how we were created.
That's right. That's
right. So for us to understand how we created means we can just be who we were created to be, instead of trying to follow mechanics to become. Do you understand what I'm saying? He said, "In all that getting, get understanding." Go over to Genesis, the second chapter. Genesis, the second chapter. Genesis, the second chapter and the seventh verse. Genesis, the second chapter and the seventh verse. And those of you that may be watching online, is your first time, I highly encourage, no matter what church service you're in, you need to have a Bible. Whether it's, I don't care if it's on an iPad or you actually have a physical Bible, because we're now in the times where we can't be just trusting what people say. We have to verify. I love what President Ronald Reagan says. He say, "I trust and verify." So I don't want you to just take my word for it. I want you to see it for yourself, because the Holy Spirit will talk to you a whole lot more than anybody else could talk to you about the Word of God. Why? Because he is the very Spirit of God. So those who watch it, first, make sure you have your Bible. Make sure you have your Bible when you follow somebody. And if a preacher, don't use the Bible. If a preacher, do not use the Bible, run away from him or her, because they're going to start mixing in their own thoughts without the influence of the Holy Spirit. So here we are in Genesis, the second chapter, the seventh verse, and it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the what?
Dust
of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a..." Now, he says man became a living soul, not just a soul, but a living soul. So we have to ask the question, what's the difference between a soul and a living soul. Because God made us a living soul. Go with me to Galatians 3:13. We are a living soul. What's the difference between a living soul and a soul? Galatians 3:13. Very familiar scripture, but I want to take my time and go over these scriptures because we, once again, we have to understand how God created us. All right. Once you understand and all that getting, get understanding. Matter of fact, let me define what the word understand really means. Understand does not mean you have clarity on a subject. Clarity on a subject comes from position. That's good. So you might say, I understand physics, algebra. I understand what that scripture is saying. Most times because we take the word understanding just as clarity, meaning I got clarity on physics, or I got clarity on the word of God, or I have clarity on algebra, meaning I can clearly grasp the concept. We sometimes forget the process that we go through to get there. The process that you go through to get to clarity on a subject, or as we like to know, understanding, is that you have to understand. Thank you so much. That we have to have, when we get clarity on a subject, that we understand. Let's break the word understand. Let's flip it over. Stand under. All right. So really, when you saying you have clarity on a subject, all you're really saying is I'm standing under that thought process. So really what God was, what the Solomon was saying when he wrote in Proverbs, and all thy getting, get understanding. In other words, what he really was saying is get a control of your thoughts and bring them under the submission of God's thoughts. So what it means is we have to understand what God was thinking, or stand under what God was thinking when he created man. What was his purpose? What was he trying to accomplish? Because when you can understand, you can be. See, when you stand under, then you can be. You ain't got to try to become. So when you be, when you go ahead and just flow in who you already are as a child of God, circumstances and situations that come up against you don't stand a chance, because I'm not trying to solve this, because I am the solution. So understand it, all right? So he's saying all I get and get understanding. We are a living soul. Galatians 3:13, it says Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Christ has redeemed us, or put us back in a former position, or position that we once were in. The position he's talking about is the position that Adam and Eve were in before they sinned. Created in the image of God, a living soul.
Yes.
All right. So Christ, through the birth, death, through the birth, the death and burial of Jesus Christ, we were put back in a former position. So now, watch this. So now that means for a while we were just a soul.
Yes.
We were just a soul. Yeah. Meaning that the only way we can solve problems was through what we thought, or through our experiences. Wow. Right. But when Jesus died on the cross, he put us back in a position to where we weren't limited by our soul. We became a living soul, meaning I am a spirit. So the difference between being a soul and a living soul is your spirit. See, before you got born again, watch this now, your spirit existed, but it was dead to God. So when an object or when something is disconnected from its origin, it can no longer be that. So Jesus allowed us to be connected back to our origin. Matter of fact, Satan's whole objective is to get us not to realize that. So he wants to have us go through a whole bunch of mechanics so that we can always be trying to become instead of being. So Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for written, curse is everyone that hangeth on the tree. So Jesus put us back in a position to now we are living souls. Now, there are five aspects to the soul because it's very important. Apostle went over these before, but it's important that we go over again. There are five aspects to the soul, or five parts to the soul. You have your emotions. All right. You know, the Bible says, be angry and sin not. All right. So you got emotions. You have your memory. Your memory helps you to rehearse things that God has done for you. All right. Jesus said in 1 Corinthians 11, he says, he was talking about the supper and he said, do this in remembrance of me. And then Deuteronomy 8:18, it says, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. Deuteronomy 8:18. All right. So we have the emotions. We have the memory. We have the intellect or reasoning. Now, if we're not careful, our intellect and reasoning will operate as a soul, not a living soul. See, we have a right now to have the mind of Christ. Matter of fact, in 1 John 2:27, it says, but you have anointing that abides on the inside of you that you have. You don't need a man to teach you anything. Right? That's not that you can't learn, but it's saying if they don't want to teach me. If the information is not on if I can't find the information anywhere else, I know where I can go to find out information, which is on the inside. Yeah. So you got your emotions, your memory, your intellect, and your imagination. Your imagination is the place where God shapes things for your future. If you let him. That's why he said, write the vision. Make it plain that he that read it may run with it. Vision is another word for imagination. Now, I'm trying to get to this fifth one, the fifth part of your soul. The fifth part of your soul is the only one that God will not mess with. God will mess with your emotions. God will mess with your intellect and your reasoning. I mean, you walk into a wedding and Jesus turned water into wine, that will mess with your intellect. When Jesus say, you're going to eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. That's going to mess with your intellect. God will mess with your imagination. God will have you dreaming about things and you wake up, Lord, how in the world am I going to accomplish this? Yeah. Can't mess with your imagination. But this last one, this last part, yes. The last part, God won't even touch. It's your will. God will not touch that one. Why won't God touch your will? Because your will is the very part of you that gives you the ability to love God. Your will pulls from the other four parts of your soul to make a decision. So now watch this. If God doesn't mess or can't mess with your will, then Satan can't mess with your will, which means we've been blaming some things on the devil. That really wasn't him anyway. it was us looking for somebody else to blame because of our decision.
Amen.
Now listen to me. Now this is empowering. Now this is empowering. So Satan will mess with the other four aspects of your soul, or the other four parts of your soul. Because if your will or your ability to make decisions comes from the other four aspects, it draws information from the memory. It draws information from the imagination. It draws memory from your intellect. It draws information from your emotions. To make a decision, then Satan would do his very best to affect the other four parts.
Yeah.
This is why, go with me to Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4 and verse 23. Proverbs 4 and 23. What it says, it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Or it says the issues in that particular scripture, it means borders or boundaries. So it says, keep your mind, keep your soul with all diligence. Put all your efforts in keeping your soul intact. Because out of your soul, or out of your heart, or out of your mind are the boundaries of life.
Yes, sir. Right.
So whatever you put in your soul creates the boundaries for your life.
Uh-huh.
So if you don't hide the word of God in your heart,
yes,
you're going to wind up having the ability to do anything. He said, keep your heart. It's important. Keep your heart, keep your mind, keep your soul with all diligence. You know, put forth effort. Because see, watch this. We get the love of God confused with trying to cover up our lack of submission. See, God loves you unconditionally.
Yes, he does.
But God doesn't do things unconditionally.
Right.
I'm going to say it again. God loves you unconditionally, mm-hmm, but God don't do things unconditionally.
Yes,
there's a difference. See, we think because God loves us, he's going to just do anything for us.
That's right.
That ain't true.
That's right.
There are some requirements.
Yeah.
There are some requirements. The very first basic requirement as a Christian is you must believe in your heart.
Amen.
And confess with your mouth that God raised Jesus from the dead. The Bible says, thou shalt be saved.
Yes, sir.
There are many people out there right now that God loves unconditionally, but they're on their way to hell.
Yeah.
Why? Because they haven't done. Your will, I said that your will is the only aspect of your soul, or the only part of your soul that God will not interfere with. Mm-hmm. So you have to train your other four aspects to fuel your will.
Yes.
Wow. All right.
Yes. Good.
You have to take the word of God and challenge your memory.
Yes, sir.
That's good.
Yeah. You have to take the word of God and challenge your emotions.
Yeah.
You have to take the word of God and challenge your imagination. You have to take the word of God and challenge your intellect, your reasoning. So that when it comes down to you making the decision, you make a decision that God is pleased with. Go with me to Genesis, the first chapter. See, I am a spirit. This is important because your spirit and your soul has to have a relationship, a certain type of relationship, in order for you to be effective in the kingdom. There's a term called suzerain. S-U-Z-E-R-A-I-N. And the counterpart to suzerain is a vassal. We're talking about, I'm giving you political terms. A suzerain is an overlord. Or in today's society, it'll be one country that has dominion or control of another country. And a suzerain will allow that country to exist, allow that country to do certain things. But when it comes to international affairs, the vassal, which is the submitting country, has to get permission from the suzerain. Your soul has to be the vassal to your spirit. Your spirit has to be the suzerain.
Yes, sir.
Meaning that your soul won't make no moves internationally outside of your body into this world system without first getting permission from your spirit. See, and Satan's whole objective is to make your soul suzerain and your spirit the vassal. You must, and one of the qualities or one of the things that take place when another country dominates another country is that the vassal, the submitting country, must pledge allegiance to the suzerain or the controlling country. You must make your soul pledge allegiance to your spirit. You must make your soul bow down to your spirit.
Yes.
This is what God was talking about in Genesis, the first chapter. Watch it. Go to Genesis, the first chapter. Watch this. Genesis, the first chapter and the 26th verse. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all, you see that? Over all the earth. And over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And had dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Here it is. God made us in his image. And here it is. Without us understanding, remember what I said, understanding, standing under what God has said, we've tried to make our own definition up. So, what I mean by that, we've been trying to move mountains with the lineup out of order. See, we're trying to do stuff on the outside. We're trying to, watch this, we're trying to run the earth. When really, that was secondary.
All right.
Running the earth was secondary. Do you want to know what he really meant?
Yes, sir.
The earth, specific. Every time the Bible is talking, is given a historical fact or given a historical event, God, is talking about you.
Right.
So when it says the earth, it means specific. All right, well, let's catch on to this. Go back to Genesis, the second chapter. Watch this. Go back to Genesis, the second chapter, the seventh verse. Watch this. Watch what he said. Genesis, the second chapter, the seventh verse. And the Lord God formed man of the what?
Yes.
Dust of the ground.
Yes.
The earth.
Yes.
So here it is. We are trying to use our dominion on the outside and haven't started using our dominion on the inside. What I mean by dominion on the inside, you taking your will
yes, sir.
And submitting it
yes,
to the will of God. Because when you take your will and submit it to the will of God, now your soul is in direct alignment with your spirit. And when your soul is in direct line alignment with your spirit, there's nothing on the outside that can stop you. Because we're made in the image of God. So now if I'm made in the image of God, watch this. If I'm made in the image of God, there ain't no sense me looking for no answers on the outside. Because all of the answers are on the inside of me. Matter of fact, it ain't really me going on the outside looking for God. Trying to give me an answer. It's me going on the inside because God and I are one. So that means because God and I are one, the answers are already on the inside of me. But what keep tripping me up is when my soul trying to be the suzerain. My soul is trying to make my spirit the vassal. My soul want my spirit to pledge allegiance to. When my soul need to be pledging allegiance to my spirit. Other words, what the spirit won't do, that's what I want to do. It shouldn't be me trying to figure out what I'm going to do and trying to get the spirit to co-sign.
Yes, sir.
See, if we're made in it, see, understanding how we are, how we create it. See, when you understand how you create it, all of these outside circumstances going to have to bow down to you. Why do they have to bow down to you? Because if you got dominion on the inside, then having dominion on the outside is automatic. See, he said, I'm going to give you dominion over your, over the earth. The earth meaning your flesh. Your flesh. When you have dominion, and watch this. This just not talking about moral sins. This talking about in every action of your life. When you have dominion, now in order for you to have dominion over the earth, your earth, you have to have dominion over your soul. Because your soul is what your earth responds to. So when when you have control over your soul has control over your flesh. Some people are even in bad shape because their soul is the vassal to the flesh. Those people are in horrible shape when they can't control their urges, can't control their body, can't control the outside. Anybody come along can influence them to do anything. They believe anything anybody say. This is why I'm telling new converts, bring your Bible. I don't want you to just hear me. I want you to see what God is saying so that you can understand that, hey, God lives on the inside of you and God wants to talk to you. See, we're living in an age now. See, the Old Testament was a foreshadowing of how we act, how we are to operate as individuals. They operate as groups in the Old Testament. Every time you've seen a man or woman of God in the Old Testament talking directly to God, that was a foreshadowing of how we're supposed to operate.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So Moses was the spirit. And the children of Israel were the soul.
Yes.
Do you see how many times the children of Israel bucked up against? See, David was the spirit, prototype of the spirit. The people he led was the soul. But here in the New Testament, because Jesus died on the cross, it doesn't operate like that no more. Because the fivefold ministry gift was given for it to do three things. It says in Ephesians 4 and 11 and 12, it was to mature or perfect the saints so that they could do the work of the ministry so the body of Christ can be built up. So that means that the fivefold ministry gift is not supposed to be hearing every word from God for our lives. They ought to be, they're training us. That's what the apostle's doing. That's why he keep telling you, you're a spirit. That's why he keep telling you, you're a spirit. Because he wants you to know, he wants us to know that we have a lot of communication with God as our Father. We don't have to wait on another man. In the Old Testament, they had to wait.
Yeah, right.
In the Old Testament, they had to bring their sacrificial offerings to lead the Levites. So they can offer it for them. That doesn't happen today. So now, if we're trying to operate in this day and age with Old Testament mentality, then we're going to be what's in Romans 8. Turn there, Romans 8. Because see, a lot of people take Romans 8 as being an evil connotation, but it can be just a connotation of ignorance.
Yeah.
I just didn't know. Watch this, Romans 8. Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 6. For to be what? Carnally minded is what?
Death.
Death or separation from God. To be carnally minded simply means that your soul is a suzerain. And your spirit is the vassal. You done made your spirit pledge allegiance to your soul. And that leads to what? Separation from God. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That's the living soul. That's the living soul. That's where it doesn't matter what I face. If I got two choices, I can face it as a soul, or I can face it as a living soul. I'd rather face my situations as a living soul. So be spiritually minded. To be spiritually minded, that is when you make your spirit the suzerain. Your spirit has the dominance. The Apostle Paul says it so clearly in Romans, the 12th chapter, the first verse. He says, you bring your body under subjection. In the second verse, he says, you renew your mind. That's your will. So now if I mess around and don't renew my mind. See, this is why I can't nobody make you spend time with God. See, this is why it got to be something that you want to do. Now your wants had. All right, let's break this. Remember now, your soul, your mind has five parts. And your will feeds off of the other four.
Yes,
so it doesn't matter what you feel like doing.
Come on now.
Your emotions.
Yes.
Your will can still override.
Yes.
See, sometimes you don't feel like reading.
What you say?
Bring it home. Oh, come on, man. Come on, man. The Bible, the Bible says don't lie in church. I don't know if it said that. I don't know. You don't always feel like.
That's right.
That's Satan trying to affect the part of your soul to make you weaker in your will.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
So this is why you have to have enough ammunition to be able to override that feeling.
Yes.
And say, I'll never tell you what I do. Let me make you laugh. I'll tell you what I do. You know, I was changing my eating habits. I'm now doing intermittent fasting. And I'm at OMAD, one meal a day. But I just didn't jump there.
Right.
I had to work my way to it. I did intermittent fasting first, which simply means I have a certain amount of time where I eat my meals and I go at least 16 hours before I eat again. All right, now I'm at OMAD, so I might eat my meal within a 4-hour time frame and don't eat again until 20 hours pass, all right? So what I would do, whenever my body started hollering at me, saying I was hungry, I'm talking about training. I would go look at cooking shows. No lie. Ask my wife. I sit down, I start watching cooking shows because I'm going to tell my soul what it's going to do. It's not going to tell me what I want to do.
Yes, sir.
I see all that food cooking and I'm sitting there telling my body, see that, watch that, you can't have it. You can't have it. You know what happened about a week and a half, 2 weeks? My body shut up. Because I didn't let the emotion part of my soul override my will. Now, I ain't telling you to do that. I ain't saying for you to go do that because it's not advice. I'm just telling you how I distinctly separated the parts of my soul and able to dominate inside before I ever tried to dominate outside. See, domination for me was, my goal was to get to 1 meal a day. But I can't dominate the outside to dominate the inside. See, some of you trying to dominate outside situations with the Word of God when you haven't let the Word of God cause you to have domination on the inside. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2 and 15, study to show yourself approved unto God. That just means accepted. You say, wait a minute. I thought I'm a son, I'm a daughter, I'm already accepted. Yes, you can be accepted in the family of God, but God don't have to accept your thought pattern. He don't have to accept your thought pattern. This is why he's telling you to renew your mind with the Word of God so that you can have domination on the inside before you can ever try to conquer anything on the outside. One of the most things people misunderstand about Jesus in Mark 11 chapter is when he was moving mountains, is Jesus had domination on the inside.
Yes, sir.
He was, if you notice, the reason why he was able to curse that tree, Jesus didn't curse that tree out the blue. He cursed that tree because that tree answered back.
Mm-hmm.
You go read the Bible, they say the tree answered him.
Yes,
but Jesus was already in a submitted position to God.
That's right.
He wasn't trying to become a spirit. He is a spirit.
Yeah.
And his spirit was suzerain. His soul was the vassal. So Jesus didn't complain because it didn't have no fruit on the tree. He realized the tree was trying to cause something to happen in his life that wasn't supposed to happen. So that because he had dominion on the inside, he was able to exert dominion on the outside. See, many of us are trying to exert dominion on the outside when we haven't exerted dominion on the inside. Your soul, see, God loves us unconditionally, but he doesn't do things unconditionally. God cannot allow us to operate in his omnipotence. He can't allow us to operate in his omnipotence with the soul being the suzerain. Your spirit got to be in control. See, what you think will happen if God, what you think will happen if you take the Word of God and go tell God, okay, God, this is what we're gonna do, and God come do it. You ain't gonna listen to another thing God say.
That's right.
You ain't gonna hear another thing God tell you to do. God might wanna go left, but you say you won't go right, and because God backed you up the last time you went right, because that's what you wanted to do, you ain't gonna listen to God no more. So God loves you. He loves us all. But he doesn't do everything. He doesn't do stuff unconditionally.
That's right.
Yes, sir. Amen.
We have to make sure that this is why apostles keep emphasizing you are a spirit. Because he wants you to be more in tune to who you are in connection to God than who you are in connection to this world.
Yes, sir.
Matter of fact, go with me to John, the first chapter. John, the first chapter. We almost finished. John, the first chapter. Watch this. John, the first chapter. Look at verse 12. It says, in John, the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John. Not 1 John. The Gospel of John. Sometimes you forget that sometimes you have people that watching online that don't know the Bible like we, some of us know the Bible. And so they realize they got actually four books with John, the word John on it. So the Gospel of John, that's in the four Gospels, the Gospel of John, the first chapter and the 12th verse. He says, but as many as receive him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Verse 13 is the part that excites me the most. It says, watch this, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So what John is saying here, watch what he said. John is saying, when you accept Christ as your Savior, your whole lineage change. Not only does your lineage change, but the understanding of your makeup changes. You are operating under old man principles. But he wants us to realize that you are a new creature in Christ. New creature means there's a new way to operate.
Yes, sir.
So in order for me to realize this new way to operate, I have to determine in my soul that my spirit is going to be the suzerain. Your spirit ain't gonna come in there and just take over. Just like the Holy Spirit ain't gonna come take you over. But you have to give the Holy Spirit, you have to yield to the Holy Spirit. So same way, you have to take your soul and make your soul yield to the Spirit. Sometimes it's a matter of being patient. Because your soul may have an answer.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
But what you want to know is this an answer from God? So I may have to pause and let God talk to me. Let my spirit, who's connected with God, see if this the answer or not. That's why it's talking about in second. This is what it means. Second Corinthians, turn there. Second Corinthians 10, watch this. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Verse 5. Casting down imagination and every high thing. It didn't say just casting down, period. It said every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. So therefore, if I need to make sure that my knowledge is lined up with the knowledge of God. Because sometimes God moves so fast on us that we'll have an answer. But you better make sure it comes from God.
Yeah.
Are you seeing this? Because your mind will sometimes like to play like it's your spirit.
Yeah, that's true.
And see, God will slip an answer there so fast, and God, if you haven't noticed by now, God is not a very quick moving God. I mean, here it is. God waited for centuries for the right situation to let Jesus be born. The Old Testament is all the stuff God had to go through to get. So God is not worried about your speed. God is more concerned with, do you have his heart? Is be not wise. Ephesians what, 5:17, be not wise, but understanding.
Yes.
That word is again, understanding. I'm standing under the will of God. I'm standing under the will of God. When I stand under the will of God, everything in my future becomes clear.
Yes.
Whether I can see it or not.
That's good, sir.
Because I'm standing under. That means my soul is vassal to my spirit. See, in these days, there's going to be so much misinformation, so much misdirection, so much information, period, that you're going to have to be able to go into an unseen world. to verify information you receive in this world. So you can't let your soul imitate your spirit. You can't let your flesh imitate your spirit. That's why apostles is limiting all this emotional stuff.
Yes.
I mean, listen, you get the right person in here, hit the right note, say it the right way, and then have you running every service. But once you tired and out of gas from running, is your soul the vassal or the suzerain?
Yeah.
Because Satan is waiting.
Yeah.
And Satan is happy when your soul is the suzerain.
Yeah.
Because he can manipulate four aspects of your soul. And if he can manipulate the four aspects of your soul, the fifth one, he know he got conquered. But if my soul is vassal or submitted or pledged allegiance to my spirit, your soul, you must, what Jesus did to the Father, he said, I and the Father are one. I don't do nothing unless the Father tells me to do. I don't say nothing unless the Father tells me to say it. That's the way your soul got to be with your spirit.
Come on, that's good, sir.
Your soul got to be the same way.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have your soul, and I'm closing, if your soul don't have your soul in that position, then Satan is doing his very best to tap dance on the other four parts. Yes. On your emotions, on your intellect, your reasoning. He'll tap dance on your memory. He'll tap dance your imagination. Just so he can get you to pull from all four of those to make a decision that causes you to be carnal. So I close with this. How? It's very simple. It's not a hard process. See, God hadn't made living for him complicated. It's very, very, very simple. Very simple. How you constantly make your soul vassal or submitted or pledge allegiance to your spirit. Very, very simple. And it's Romans 12 and 2. Romans 12 and 2. Very easy. Because Romans 12 and 2, you can turn that. Romans 12 and 2 encompasses the whole Bible. It encompasses the whole Bible. It encompasses all 66 books. It says, be not conformed to this world. When you conform into the world, simply means that your soul is the suzerain. When you conform, it says be transformed by the again and 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 again. I'm gonna use a term that it don't seem like it's gonna go, but you're gonna catch it when I say it, until you are embalmed.
Yeah.
You are embalmed. Yeah, thank you, Holy Spirit. You are embalmed with life.
Yeah.
That's good.
And you're dead to the world.
Yes.
So therefore, so now that you renew your mind. That now means that you can be exposed to whatever. When you're exposed to whatever, what's on the inside of you is going to overrule what's trying to expose you to be exposed to on the outside. See, because my heart has been protected. It's been guarded with all diligence. So because it's been guarded with all diligence, it leads me to cast down.
Yes.
Cast down every imagination and high thing and try to exalt itself against the knowledge of God. Because I'm not wise in my own, but I'm standing under the will of God. You see how renewing your mind is, it's very simple. Renew your mind. Renew your mind. I'm constantly feeding the word of God. My wife and I was talking this afternoon. And we say, it ain't but 24 hours in a day. Eight of them, you sleep. Eight of them, you're working. Right? So now that's 8, 16, right? How many hours you got left?
Eight.
Got 8 hours left. You ain't aged yet. You ain't aged yet. So give another 3 hours to eating, maybe. So now where you at?
Five.
And so during them 5 hours, we either watch this, and I'm not judging, we either watching TV or have a frivolous conversation, or we on social media. So when is my mind gonna be renewed? When is my mind gonna be renewed? God is a just God. He ain't changing for nobody. Romans 10:17, what I mean by that? Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Apostle Paul wrote that in a positive light, but that is a principle. So then faith, my ability to act, comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. My courage to act, my will to make a decision, comes by hearing the word of God, or the rhema word of God, a live word from God. So that's a principle. Whatever you hear the most, that's what you're going to have the confidence to do.
Yeah.
So if you're hearing what the world system is saying more than what you're hearing what God is saying, you're going to have confidence in what the world say, and you're not going to have confidence in what God is telling you.
Yes. That's good.
So once again, your soul has now become the suzerain.
Yes.
So you see how it's simple.
Yes.
When I renew my mind. I don't give nobody or nothing a chance to renew my mind for me. How can you cast down the imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and you don't spend time with the word of God? Because you can't cast it down, because you know what the word of, you know what God's thinking. So if you know what God's thinking, how you gonna cast it down? And that's how, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. That's how your soul can imitate your spirit. That's how your soul can imitate your spirit, is because if I don't know what God is want, what God is saying, I'm not standing under his will, then I don't know what he's saying. I don't know what he want. And so when a high thing come, I'm not going to even recognize it. I won't be able to recognize the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, because I'm allowing my soul to be the suzerain. So this is why apostles keep telling us, I am a spirit. He wants us to properly understand, stand under who we are,
yeah,
how God created us. And God created us so wonderfully that if you take the time to pause before you make major decisions and say, soul, we're going to check with the spirit. Tell your soul, we're going to check with the spirit. And just give God a chance. And you'll be surprised how many situations that you're facing become eradicated quicker than you think they'll be eradicated. Why? Because now you're dominating on the inside before you dominate on the outside. Lift your hand if you need to offer.